I want us this evening to look at that chapter we read in Isaiah 55, and particularly the crucial verse, verse 11. So shall my word be that goeth forth out of my mouth. It shall not return unto me void, but it shall accomplish that which I please, and it shall prosper in the thing whereto I sent it. That verse, verse 11, is the foundation very much of the whole argument of this chapter that we're going to look at this evening. The prophet Isaiah, we've considered and looked at them individually, but he gives to us four little pictures of what are called the servant's song, the pictures of the mission or the life or some aspect of a servant that is prophesied he will come. And these little pictures tell us on how the servant is going to deal with his people. These little pictures tell us what he has done for his people. He is the one who deals with them gently, but he is also the one who speaks sharply but plainly to them. He is also the one who has obeyed perfectly and completely what was required of him, in contradiction to the misbehavior and the disobedience of his people. And particularly when we come to chapter 53, that perhaps we all can quote by memory, if not entirely, certainly portions of it. There in Isaiah 53, we've got the last picture of the servant and his suffering. And it's a suffering that is not because of anything in him. We've said it there. He obeyed perfectly all that was required and set before him. The grief and the suffering that he endures and experiences belongs to others, and they are on him, and he is enduring them and carrying them, because that is the mission that takes him into this world. There are two ideas of crossing over that is given to us in Isaiah 53. On the one hand, there is the crossing over of the sins and the sorrows and the grief that belongs to God's people, taken and laid on the Lord Jesus Christ, the one who is spoken of as the servant in these passages. But then, going in the other direction, we have the benefits and the blessings that the Lord himself has obtained, then being taken and applied and given to his people. If we want to summarize it in one sentence, he carries their penalty so that they might enjoy his peace. He carries their penalty so that they may enjoy his peace. And when you read Isaiah 53, and especially in the light of New Testament teaching, you can see the way in which it's fulfilled in Jesus Christ. And when we read something of the gospel and the provision which the Lord has obtained for his people, there's a richness about it. There's a fullness with it. This gospel that is preached throughout our land tonight, this gospel that is embraced by God's people through the years and across the face of the earth, this gospel is perfect. But this gospel is also an abundant provision that God has made for his people. When you go back through the scriptures, you find so often that there's almost an extravagance of language used to describe the riches of this provision that God has made for his people. He promises that every need that they have will be met. He assures them of spiritual food for their soul. He undertakes to provide satisfaction in life, protection from all dangers, and survival through death. These are but just simply words that give insight into the riches of this gospel that the Lord has made over to every one of his people. And verse 11 is underwriting it all. This is the pledge. This is the guarantee that all of these thumbnails that we've mentioned just briefly, that they all will happen. We have truly an amazing and a wonderful gospel in Jesus Christ the Lord. But not all the people in the days of Isaiah were enjoying that inheritance or these provisions. Let's just remind ourselves of what was happening here. These people to whom Isaiah spoke were people who were in exile. They had been so defiant and disobedient against God, despite all the overtures that he sent through many of his prophets. It came eventually that they crossed the line and the Lord said, enough is enough. You're going into Babylon and you're going into exile. And to exile they went. And they were there for a certain number of years. And one of the things that was happening was that they were becoming comfortable. They were becoming comfortable where they were, as they were. They had the appearance that they were being well satisfied and at peace and well taken care of. They were told to put their roots down, to plant things, to establish a family and so on. But the Lord was also telling them, these things are temporary. They will not last. They do not last. These people were not enjoying the full provision that the Lord had made for his people. And so therefore in this chapter 55, the Lord is beginning to chide his people. He is gently taking them to task. He is gently probing into their life and their approach and the way they're looking at things. He is gently taking them to think about and to reflect upon what they're doing and where they're going. And all the while, in the approach of the Lord and in the methods of the Lord, there is always this glorious, perfect provision that he has made and is making for his people. Why then are you content with substitutes? Why then are you content with alternatives? The Lord has the real thing for your souls. That's the background against which Isaiah 55 is written. And what is the Lord saying to these people? He is saying to these people, content as they are with the exile and with these things that are provided for them, God is saying to them, and it's an echo that comes down to ourselves, asking them, why are you wasting your lives? Why are you wasting your life on these things that will end, that will ultimately fall away and are temporary? When you go through this prophecy of Isaiah chapter 40, right through to 53, if you go through that particular portion of this book, and if you read it in the light of the gospel and the New Testament, you see there the promises, you see there the work of the Messiah. We've already lingered on chapter 54, and the way in which there the picture that's given fits no one else but Jesus Christ. Everything is perfect. Everything is finished and everything is complete. And so the Lord is now saying to them, you out there, oh, he says, listen to me. He's grabbing their attention. He says, I'm talking to you. What kind of people is the Lord talking to? What kind of people is the Lord addressing here? So many different groups that he sets out for them. People who are wasting their times on alternatives and substitutes. He speaks to those who are thirsty. We know with ourselves, but especially out there in the Middle East, water is a vital commodity. It's basic, but it's also precious. You cannot survive long without it. And so the image and the teaching that we've got here is in the spiritual realm and application that your life is lacking something basic, precious, and essential. That's what he is saying. You're thirsty. You're lacking something. And the one thing that you're lacking is the very thing which the Lord has made ample and abundant provision for. And he will bestow it upon you. Why then are you wasting your lives in things that don't satisfy? In the Sermon on the Mount, the Lord is drawing attention to the goodness of God and the way in which he thinks of and provides for his people. Words perhaps again that we're very familiar with. What man is there of you? If his son asks some bread, will you give him a stone? If he asks for a fish, will you give him a serpent? If you then, being evil, know how to give good gifts to your children, how much more shall your Father who is in heaven give good things to them that ask him? We are without. That's whom the Lord is addressing and identifying. Lacking something basic and lacking something precious. But he goes on and he talks not only about being thirsty, he also talks about those who are broke, those who don't have a penny, who have no money to buy what they need, and they have no means of getting what they lacked. They've got plenty of other things. When it comes down to what matters, when it comes down to what's important, they don't have and they cannot get what's so basic in their life. And then he goes on and he says, buy wine and milk without money and without price. Freely offered, rich and fully satisfying. The very things that you need in life, the very spiritual blessings that you need, they don't have a price tag on them. They don't have a price tag on them. Water that refreshes. He now moves on to the richness and the substance of what is offered. It's rich, it's full, it's varied, it meets every need of your soul. It is not just water that is offered, water that was needed. But the Lord goes so much bigger and better, and he offers wine and he offers milk. The richness of the gospel provision of the Lord for his people. There is nothing meager. There's nothing just so about the gospel and about what the Lord provides for his people. Good measure pressed down and running over. That's the measure the Lord has for his own. Without water, life is incomplete. Without Lord, life is incomplete, dissatisfying. always yearning but never content. But when we have the Lord, then we've got the joy and the peace and the satisfaction in a way that we've never known before. The wine and the milk. That's the provision, more than adequate provision, that the Lord makes for his people. I am come that ye might have life, our Lord says. But he doesn't stop at that measure. Measure indeed as it is. I am come that you might have life, and that you might have it more abundantly. There is a great abundance in the Lord's provision for us. It's not measured, nor is it given reluctantly. That's so often the falsehood that the devil will whisper in our soul and in our ear so often. So often there is pictured for us and a caricature is given to us of our God. Our Father, who is at best perhaps reluctant to bless us. That reluctance has to be overcome and his favour has to be won. And that's what the devil keeps on talking about, the death of Jesus Christ. That's what it achieved on the cross. So runs the falsehood. So runs the caricature that the devil will spread and lodge and keep on speaking about to our soul. And what we've got to do is we've got to shut our ears and open our eyes. And we've got to read the pages of Scripture and the revelation that he's given to us of himself. Our God indeed is a good God. A God who gives liberally and abundantly to meet every need that rises in our soul. And he gives freely. There's no price tag on the things that are offered to us in the gospel. There is no sin that cannot be pardoned except the sin of rejection and rebellion against the Holy Spirit. And again, we sometimes slip down into despondency, and in our hopelessness and our helplessness, we might sometimes think, and it's encouraged by the devil who says, "Oh, you've gone too far now. You've gone too deep, you've gone too far, you've gone beyond reach." But remember what Isaiah himself says. Countering that very approach, countering that very problem, countering that very attack by the devil against our soul, right at the very beginning of this book he says, "Though your sins are like scarlet, as bright and as vivid as that." God says, "Though your sins are like scarlet, he will make them as white as snow." What tremendous abundant provision there is for sin in the blood of the Savior, able to cleanse from all sin. There is no life. There is no life that cannot find that peace. The stains of a lifetime and the habits of a lifetime, yes, they run deep in our lives. And we sometimes ask the question, who's going to remove them and who's going to break this habit? The pain and the guilt that we're carrying and the burden we're carrying for year after year after year. Our heart broken in so many pieces. Can we possibly find peace at all? But peace is possible. Nobody is too big a sinner. Nobody is too bad a sinner. Paul himself knew that he was the worst in his own estimation. He was the chief of sinners because of what he had done against the church, because of the way in which he had persecuted Christians, because of the way in which he had been so vindictive against them for so long and such a fatal and extreme way. Oh yes, Paul knew it in himself. But he also knew despite being the chief of sinners, he knew the mercies of God in Jesus Christ, his Savior and his Lord. He was not disqualified. He knew the peace and the pardon of the gospel of the Lord Jesus Christ. There is no situation that we can think of, therefore, no matter where it might come from, there is no situation that we can think of that defeats the resources of heaven or will prize any one of God's people out of his hand or his grasp. There is no such thing as beyond the line as far as the resources of our God are concerned. Sometimes we might say to someone else, you don't know where I've got to live. You don't know where I've got to work. You don't know what I've got to face tomorrow. You don't know what pressure I've got to cope with. You don't know what it's like. And we don't. But the Lord Jesus Christ does. And he's never defeated. Such is the rich, abundant provision. Remember what Peter tells us, and he speaks about it. We've referred to it so often, but it's a beautiful, precious text. The manifold grace of God. The manifold grace of God. It's the light, white light, broken down into all of its spectral colors. That's what it means. No matter what situation you've got to face, there is there a colour appropriate to your need. Put them all together and you get white light that we've got today. The abundance of God's provision. The abundance of the work of the Saviour, the servant, spoken of by this prophet. The provision, the thirst, the provision of wine and milk. But that's not where he stops. He's gently chiding his people, perhaps chiding ourselves also. And in verse 2, he goes further. And he goes and he says, why do you spend your money for that which is not bread? Just look at what you're doing. Look at how you're living. Look at all the effort that you're putting into life. Look at all the effort you're putting into a daily routine, 9 to 5, 24/7. And he's gently challenging us as he challenged them. Ask a simple question. Is it satisfying? Does the labor that you're putting in bring contentment and rest and peace and fulfillment? And he says, you're not spending your time in a wise or a good way. He's asking us, be honest, ask yourself the question, even although you keep the answer to yourself. There's so many things on offer before us. So many latest thrills. So many sensations. So many trips and such like that are offered for us. And so often people think, well, it's going to be different this time. I'm going to get something. I'm going to satisfy myself on this time. And yet it comes to the same conclusion every time. We don't meet the need of our soul. We're getting towards the end of the holiday season. Holidays that are marketed powerfully and persistently, the pick-me-up that we need. We need to recharge our resources. We need to get away and get a sun and get some rest that we're ready to face the rest of the days, the weeks of the year. And every time we try it, we find the same conclusion comes. We find, although there's temporary blessing and refreshment for a while. It fades and it goes. And it's only from the Lord and it's only in His gospel that we find the abundance of life, fully providing for our every need. That dependence that is essential in the Lord's people, which is seen perhaps by some as a weakness who don't know the Lord. But that dependence brings us close to Him. And it brings all of His provision to our lives. A joy, a peace, a rest and a contentment. Even although there might be round about us chaos, even although there might be everything piling in upon us, we have a contentment which the Lord Himself has provided for His people. The Lord then, speaking to His people, chiding His people, and He has put His finger upon the problem. He has identified, look, you're not living right, you're doing these things and you haven't been satisfied from them. So now what He's saying as He moves on, He says, listen to me. Verse 3, incline your ear. Listen to me. Up till now, the din of politics, music, entertainment, up till now, the din of society has been bombarding you with every offer under the sun, with the latest attractions for you. So many offers, so many promises, exciting trips, novel experiences. Close your ears to them. Be still and for a moment listen to me. Stretch out your ear to catch what the Lord is saying. He is talking to us about the gospel of salvation and forgiveness through Jesus Christ, His Son. The only source of pardon and the only source of satisfaction and fullness for our life. We need to meet Him, to know His healing touch on our soul. We need to listen to His life-giving words that He speaks to His people. And when we know these things for ourselves, there is nothing that can be compared in all that we've had before and all that is offered round about us. There is nothing that comes close to satisfying us when the Lord meets us and deals with us like that. And how is all this brought about? What's the foundation for this gospel and what is the foundation for this peace? We know that sin cannot just simply be brushed underneath the carpet. Because just as it is easily put there, just as easily it can be taken out from there. It needs to be put in a secure and a safe place where nothing and nobody can ever get at it again. Sin needs to be dealt with in a way that justice is satisfied so that there is never ever a weakness that can be exploited against us. Who can do that? Only Jesus Christ can. We said that there was no price tag on these things that are offered. Buy wine and milk without money and without price. Yes, there's no price tag on them for us. But it cost the Lord His life to make that free offer to us now. He satisfied the demands of justice. He paid the penalty, and therefore these sins are gone forever. And we have the gift of His peace as our permanent possession. Sin has to be faced up to. Sin has to be dealt with. Until we deal with it in a permanent way, there's always there the threat and the possibility and the danger. It's going to come out to meet us. It's going to come out to greet us. It's going to come out to confront us one day, this day, the next day. But it will. Until or unless it's covered with the blood of the Lord Jesus Christ. That's the abundance of this gospel provision, obtained by the servant in Isaiah 53, pointing forward to the Messiah, the Lord Jesus Christ, in the New Testament. Listen to what the Lord is saying in these days, in this moment, to our soul. And what does he require of us? He tells us, seek the Lord. Seek the Lord while he may be found. Call upon him while he is near. It's a privilege, it's an invitation, but it comes intimating a limitation. While he is near, there is a degree of urgency about this. It's not going to be held out forever for us. Seek him while he is available. Seek him while he can be found. Because now is the day of salvation. Now is the acceptable time. Come to the Lord as we are, as sinners. Leave behind everything that we once put our hope in and confidence on. Coming just as we are, and pleading only the merit and the blood of the Lord Jesus Christ. The barrier that sin once was, excluding us from God, depriving us of the fullness of life that the Lord had for his people, for Adam before he fell. That barrier is now removed. And what we were made for, but we never ever had, what we were made for, we can now experience perhaps for the first time. He requires of us to seek him, to turn to him, to come with repentance and faith. What a tremendous gospel message we have. A grand offer made for us here in the marketplace of the world. But we need to take it. We cannot delay and defer and put it off for another time. Because we don't know if another time will come. This is the provision. This is the gospel. This is what the Messiah, the servant, has obtained. And then we come to the encouragement that verse 11 brings for us. I haven't lost sight of its place and its influence and its significance. God's ways are different from ours. That's what he tells us. What's he saying to us? Well, there are times when we think and what we say don't match up. There are times when what we think and what we say don't match up. There are times when we cannot deliver what we've promised. These doubts and these fears don't come near the provision that God has made. These doubts and these fears don't come near the provision that God has made. When we linger like we do tonight and think of this gospel, the more understanding that we have about it, the louder the question comes into our mind. How can you be sure of all this? It's just too good to be true. There's a degree of doubt. There's a reserve comes when we see the wonder of this gospel of pardon and forgiveness that costs us nothing and is offered to us and made available to us in Jesus Christ. How can God make that offer? Is it sincere? Is it correct? And that's the position that verse 11 occupies. All of this abundant, wonderful provision, it rests on God being reliable and dependable and true to his word. He is the guarantee of all these things that we've talked of tonight. His word is his bond. He will do what he has said. And when we take him at his word, we will never, ever, ever be empty-handed. It shall, we're told, his word shall accomplish that which he pleases. It shall not return to him void. It shall not come back empty-handed. So therefore it says, with this we close, you shall go out with joy. You shall be led forth with peace. When we take God at his word and when we enjoy these gospel provisions, when we take the Lord Jesus Christ as our Savior, this is what will be the experience of his people then, when they came out of exile, now when we come out of sin. Dramatic words there in verse 12. The hills shall break forth before you into singing, and all the trees of the field shall clap their hands. The rejoicing, the joy when we engage with what the Lord has provided for us. The spiritual experience of the redeemed saint. The spiritual experience of those who trust in the Lord and take him at his word. The abundance, the wonder, the amazing provision that he has made in Jesus Christ. When it's ours, these very vivid and picturesque words of creation breaking into singing will be exactly what we feel, exactly our experience. And it's all guaranteed, underwritten. The word of the Lord, it shall not return to him void, but he'll do what he has said. He shall accomplish what I please, and it shall prosper in the thing to where I sent it. Let us pray. O Lord, our gracious God, truly we have thy word before us, and it brings before us tremendous, rich spiritual panorama. It brings before us provision, amazing provision for sinners such as we are. A message that is proclaimed for the healing of nations tonight. O Lord, enable us to see the length and the breadth, the richness, the abundance of this provision. May we see it guaranteed and underwritten. And may we close in with it. And with the Savior who's at the center of it. And may we know these things for ourselves in our days. Lord, in thy grace, deal with us. Lord, look down upon us in thy mercy. Lord, in Jesus Christ, grant thy blessing to us. In his name we ask it. Amen. We close tonight by singing from Psalm 126. Psalm 126, when Zion's bondage gone turned back, as men that dreamed were we, then filled with laughter was our mouth, our tongue with melody. They among the heathen said, the Lord great things for them hath wrought, the Lord hath done great things for us, whence joy to us is brought. As streams of water in the south, our bondage, Lord, recall. Who sow in tears, a reaping time of joy, and joy they shall. That man who bearing precious seed and going forth doth mourn, he doubtless bringing back his sheaves rejoicing shall return. Psalm 126, when Zion's bondage, God turned back.